Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey there, welcome back to Reality TV.
True story.
I'm going to break down the fourth wall a little bit here. I've recorded this intro about 4 times, and either Scout, my dog, is going in or out, or I get sidetracked and I start going off into a very deep hole on Ancestry.com because I'm a huge freaking nerd and I've been binging Genealogy Roadshow all weekend. If you haven't seen any of them, go and find it. Actually, I think they might have episodes on Amazon Prime or Discovery Plus, or I might be just making that up and it's on Peacock. Who the hell knows? That's a great show to get into if you're kind of a nerd like me. But listen, this week on the show, I'm going to be talking about the latest Sister Wives, 90 Day Fiancé, and the horror shit show that is Married at First Sight. What an intense and crazy season so far. But first, let me give you a heads up very quickly what's coming up on Patreon this week. At We Love to Hate TV, Amanda and I are going to be closing the chapter on 2 different things. The first, Amanda is going to be giving you her final chapter of Matt Bayer's memoir. And then we are going to be saying goodbye to the ladies of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City because we'll be wrapping up part 3 of the 3-part reunion. Over on Total Request Podcast, we are recapping a show that neither of us have watched before, 1,000 Pound Sisters. We have no idea which episode we should watch, so holler at us, let us know a great episode to start, and we are going to be watching another episode of The Sopranos. It's a great show, don't get me wrong, but it's a little dark for me. It's a little serious, and there's so many people, but it should be a good time because Amanda's ex-husband and friend, only a friend, he's a married man, happily married to someone else now, but the three of us have a great time talking about The Sopranos because the 2 of them are experts and I'm a total newbie to it. So check that out. Links are in the show notes. But I think we should just jump right into Married at First Sight here. And before I go any further, I should say check out Mafs Fan on Instagram and Twitter, M-A-F-S Fan. She has a lot of really good information. She keeps it pretty much drama-free, but you'll get the tea, especially with this whole Chris stuff. Wild. But let's jump in with Pastor Cal, an old friendly face. He says, while some of the newlyweds have started to create strong and unique bonds, others have hit a few bumps in the road. A few bumps? How about a bump that gets big enough to grow a 8-pound baby with a 5-pound head if it's Chris's? You know, you don't call a former fiance who one of your grooms is still in love with and who's pregnant with his baby just a little bump in the road. That's like a Chevy Chase in Vacation, road closed, driving through that barricade at full speed. Dad, I think I stabbed my brain. Great 80s movie. Check it out. All right, so let's start with Chris and Paige. I mean, we have to do that. So here we have this asshole, Chris. Don't even really know where to start with this guy. But I suppose we'll start with the fact that he's still stringing Paige along, even though he knows he has no intention of staying married to her. And we all know he's just riding this thing out so he isn't fined by production or denied payment because he's money hungry and he's a big fraud. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So when she asks if he's excited to meet her dog, and he says, yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to get up and let the dog. I'm not going to take care of it or anything. I'll play with it, but I'm not taking care of it. Great dad to be right there, first of all. But also, way to just throw even more gas on the fire when you're saying that you don't want to care for anything that has to do with Paige. She said, this dog is like my baby. She's supposed to be expected to take care of his child, step in as a stepmom, but he can't even step in and let the freaking dog out. And I think we all see what he's doing at this point. You know, he doesn't want Paige to see his true self, obviously. And he also doesn't want to talk about money and go into finances because really, he's got zero assets. He's the type of guy that lives only on credit, extended credit, no savings. Whatever he makes, he spends. And we know Married at First Sight does barely any vetting beyond background checks and a few therapy appointments that's been confirmed. But I don't even know how Chris's smarmy ass personality made it through the first rounds without red flags, because we're all seeing it and we don't even know a tenth of what's going on. And I'm going to go and talk about the ATV and the dinner that blew up because of Chris and in Chris's face, you could argue. But let's touch base with our other couples first. And I also have more information on Chris, thanks to @MavsFan. So let's talk about Haley and Jacob. Haley likes alone time, according to Jake. She says her alone time recharges her, but we all know that's not what's going on. I think she's recharging something, maybe that fits in her pocket and that she's going to need because she's not staying with Jake. This is a disaster match. I think the only reason she slept with him was because she was really wasted and she probably just wanted to see where it was going to go. Maybe wondering why the experts matched them. They must know something that we don't know, something under his Schoolhouse Rock t-shirt. But no, I think it's safe to say that was a big swing and a miss, and I don't blame her. Now, Clara and Ryan, well, first of all, anyone else still wondering and want to know what their AIM, A-I-M screen names were? And the reason I clarified AIM or A-I-M is because I don't know the difference. I still think of AIM as AOL. And I distinctly remember that dial-up sound and praying someone didn't pick up the landline and kick you off. Such a simple time. When a virus was just something on your computer, maybe you didn't update AOL, America Online, to AOL 2.0. Am I aging myself here? Yes, but at least I don't have to worry about having a MySpace page out there because I'm too old for that too. Now, Clara and Ryan, I really thought these two were going to bring it this season, some real annoying dramatics, but I got to tell you, so far, they're actually pretty chill. There's still something about Ryan, though, that I don't totally trust, but so far, they're pretty boring, and Clara is growing on me. I really like the girl. The, I haven't said I love you, you know, he's never said I love you to anyone, how can that be? And it's pretty lame. And it only seems like a major sticking point or a deal breaker for Clara because they're adding in the dramatic music. Actually, I think they call it tense music if you have the captions on. Then they throw in a little shushing in there. And then you're like, oh my God, they're going to break up because he won't say I love you. I don't think that's the case. I actually think they'll stay together for a while. I don't know about long term, though, like years and years. Though we still have a season, so we'll see what happens. But so far, the most shocking thing I've seen is probably Clara putting her purse on the ground when she's having drinks with the ladies and they sit down around that coffee table and she puts her purse on the freaking ground. Ew. Out of all the wives to do that, I would not have expected Clara to be the one. She's a flight attendant. Of all the women there, she should know everything is lava. That a carpet in Vegas, in a cocktail lounge / casino, that's the epicenter of lava. That's the belly of the volcano of the grossest germs in skin cells anywhere. And, you know, Chris's next children are probably swimming around all over the place with that. But here she is putting her freaking purse on the ground. Come on. Now, Virginia and Eric. Well, I think we can all agree Virginia has rubbed off on Eric, and I'm not just referring to her makeup, which always seems to be sliding off her face. I mean, every time we focus our attention on either of them, together or separate, any given scene, they are drunk and rambling about something. They get very sanctimonious when they're drunk. And when Chris is looking at Eric sideways thinking Eric is the fool that doesn't know what he's saying, you need to stop. I mean, just smack that mojito or that. He likes a very fruity sort of drink, like a peach schnapps seltzer. Just smack it right out of that man's hand. And there's nothing wrong with cocktails, especially if you're in Vegas and you're not paying for any of this. I would be drinking a lot too, but my God, when you know you're on camera and you're going to be forced to have these deep conversations with people, lay off or space it out with a glass of water. Even like 8 ounces of water between would do a hell of a job, a hell of a difference for them. But, you know, I guess it's helping Eric fall in love with Virginia, because I don't think he would be this into her sober. No one truly sees this amazing connection that Eric thinks they have. I don't even think Virginia thinks they have this connection that Eric sees. Holler at me if I'm wrong, but Eric is just enjoying Virginia's, I'm trying to think of an airline analogy here, her cabin, her underbelly. Oh, that sounds gross. Her lower compartment. Okay, well, whatever. You get the idea. Even though they're saying that they're not having sex with each other, they are. It's obvious. We see it. If you're falling asleep at the table and you're slurring that you're not having sex, but you're going to go up to your room and then cuddle each other, no way. We are not believing it. All that said, I was relieved to see they placed a table in front of him to keep him upright, basically, when he's talking with all the guys, when they're all laughing at him because he's dozing off at the table. Kind of looked like a drunk but not pill high, allegedly, Ryan from Teen Mom. But they put the table specifically in front of his body. Otherwise, he would have fallen face forward out of that chair onto that disgusting lava-filled carpet. Or Chris would have probably just leaped over and kicked his ass. So good thing the table's there to slow him down. There's trouble in paradise, guys. Brianna's bossy, and she asked Vincent to pick things up and throw them away. I know. This is huge. This is deal breaker stuff. Vincent's very, very worried. You know, they might not make it because she's so, so bossy. Whatever. I hate this drummed up drama. They probably had a discussion because he felt she was being a little nitpicky or condescending, but I don't think they had a big blowout fight. It looked like they had a very productive, calm, off-camera conversation, which makes me like Vincent a whole lot more because he's not using the cameras there to his advantage to bring things up as protection, which is what I think a lot of the couples do. They know their partner's not going to scream and yell at them or get really angry if they have a crew there watching it. Kind of like what happened with Haley and Jake. That would have been a bigger argument. Actually, we know it would have been because later they do get into an argument that we don't see. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I think Vincent and Brianna are great. Like I said, they're boring, they're sweet, they're a normal couple, and they had a fun little date after they talked about her needing to, you know, just lay off the nitpicking a little bit. Now let's talk about this ATVing. I always thought it would be a terrifying thing, but after I was watching, I was like, you know what? To be whipping around in one of those carefully, I wouldn't want to flip over like on, what was that, Real Housewives of Orange County? Wouldn't want to do that, but driving it could be fun. Passenger, no fucking way. I would be Brianna to infinity exponent because I would be screaming my ass off at whoever's driving, but that looked fun. Now, I could tell from Clara's body language right off the bat that she was not really wanting to talk to Chris about anything. 100% no doubt about it. Producers set the stage for this conversation. Hey, Chris and Virginia and Clara, you're over here. You guys talk. Paige, why don't you go bond with the guys over there? They just wanted to spark that fire, see some fireworks. And I mean, we got it. You add Clara in there for her honesty, which they expected her to do. And I did too. Because she came in hot this season with a big personality, leading with this, I like to be the center of attention personality, but she laid off. And maybe that's why I like her. She knows when she can be a lot and she knows when to back off. Virginia, on the other hand, I mean, she might have poked the bear, but Chris was solely responsible for escalating things, don't you think? What bothered me the most was how Chris came stomping in. You know, like he's claiming Paige is his wife. You can't talk to her like that. You're not her friend. She's my wife. Like now he wants to be the hero spouse, swoop in and don't you talk to my wife that way. We're a team. No. He doesn't get to just dip in and out of this marriage. Well, I guess he does because that's all he's been doing and all he's going to do the rest of the season. He's just a selfish, egotistical, arrogant, I'm just going to say failure, in my opinion. I think he is. I don't care if he's got a Subway franchise, which is what it looks like, by the way. I dug around a little bit on Instagram because I have no idea how to use Reddit. And it looks like that's what he was saying his franchise is, that he owns a Subway. If that's the case, great. But let's just, you know, take down the Tony Robbins stump speeches. Where was I? Oh, right. How I think he's gross. I think he's just irresponsible and it's unforgivable that the experts would put someone so irresponsible with their own life and pair them up with someone else. These producers and whoever was out there should have stopped and said, we got to pull you out of this, or we're pulling Chris out of it. Did they know? Because it makes for great TV, which gets into a whole moral argument about reality TV, which we're not going to have here. But he's puffing his chest to anyone who's going to dare to speak to Paige. And then he gets in an ATV and drives off with her, a woman that he wishes were not his wife. You're going to let him get in a car and zoom off into that thing. Not a car, a dune buggy, ATV, whatever. I think it's a very risky move, and I would not let my friend get back in that thing with him. No way. I would have grabbed, Ryan and Eric and thrown them in front of me. Actually, I would have thrown Virginia in front of me first and then those two guys, but I would not have let Paige get in that ATV with him raging. Yet how fun is it going to be for Chris's future child? ? More on that in just a minute. You know, there's a record of Chris finding out that he's got a child on the way and calling his future child a, quote, fucking embarrassment. Again, because it really comes down to him being embarrassed because it doesn't fit Chris's pretend image that he has worked so hard to fake pulling off. Now, the dinner party from hell, Married at First Sight style. Well, things are all hunky-dory now, right? Because Chris's grandma and Paige are praying for him. It's going to be a great night. Chris is basically healed. A totally different man now. It's about forgiveness and healing and friendship and prayer. Kumbaya, we're all together, all one big happy family. That was not performative at all. Wasn't for the cameras, super genuine and heartfelt, right? I think his dad called him, his grandma called him, and they gave him exact wording to say to try to cover up what an asshole he is, because they know that he was going to come out on the show looking like a fool. So they were giving him lines to perform, basically. And good thing Eric and Virginia were there to hear it, right? What the hell? Eric is a pilot. He knows how to be on time for stuff. That's his actual job, is to be on time for everything. And this is a full production. This little, oh, we're late per usual. That tardiness is so freaking rude. I hate when people are continuously and routinely late. Like, it's their cute little personality quirk. No, it's not, especially if you have a huge production of people that are waiting for you. And had they been there on time, they would have heard what Chris said, genuine or not. Not. But they wouldn't have walked in entitled and late and escalated things, especially Virginia with the, who wants to take a shot? Paige, I know you need a shot. That's literally shots fired. And that's on Eric and Virginia. This whole blow up thing was their fault. You don't walk in late, be told that Chris already spoke about all the previous events of the day, and then insist on hashing it out again. It was over and done with. And then for Eric and Virginia to be talking about his apology, where Eric's like, he thinks that was an apology. He didn't even apologize. No, he did actually apologize, but you weren't there because you were late. And now we know Virginia is like that girl that likes to stir shit up, the girl that jumps from boyfriend to boyfriend because she loves drama and will just, I was going to say needle the guy, but I guess the 2021 word for that is gaslight. She's basically Sammy on Jersey Shore. Ron, stop. But she really freaking loves it. That's Virginia. She riled Eric up and probably did a, oh, I was so scared, boo-hoo, and wanted him to go in there and be her man, be her guy in shining armor and save the day. And it epically backfired on them. And Chris was stupid for standing up like he was going to fight Eric, because that's never going to solve anything. But what I did love about that was that it gave us the opportunity to see Vincent save the day. I am really starting to have some very deep feelings for Vincent. That was so hot. A bald guy with a beard, like that is 100% my type. And then when he was charging, but it wasn't like he just used his body weight, almost like hugging Chris back, like, no, no, guy, you don't want to do this, man. Don't do it. His hotness just went through the roof for me. He's right up there with, actually, I don't know. I don't really have a celebrity crush. I mean, The Rock is pretty hot, but I don't know. He can be a little smarmy and weird when he's singing. I'll think of someone, but needless to say, I think Vincent is just the hottest guy on the show right now. But stepping away from my infatuation with him for a moment, Ryan and Clara made a little headway, but I don't think what we were left with at the end of the show is really what's going on. When Ryan said something about, you know, yeah, but you really need to know when to keep your mouth shut, I don't think he meant you to Clara. I think he meant you in general. I actually think they were talking about Virginia. You know, when a situation gets heated, everyone has an opinion, but sometimes you just need to know when to shut your mouth. That's what I think he was saying. But they edited it with Clara in her voiceover, so it sounded like he was saying that straight to her. But like I said before, I still think there's something I don't trust about him, but I don't think he's as bad of a guy as, let's say, Chris is. Now, Haley and Jake, I wanted way more of what was going on there. They left us pretty high and dry on what this whole situation was. I feel bad for Jake, but I also feel badly for Haley because she's just not that into him. If you're just not that into someone, what do? You can't make yourself be attracted to someone. And Gronk's personality is pretty damn beige. It seems like Haley is always the one to ask him questions, to keep things going, to find out about him. And he might reciprocate that exact same question, but he doesn't seem like he's getting that deep with her. I mean, she's just supposed to say, yeah, we had sex, but now that I think about it, I don't think you're that fun to be around. I'm not really into your Americana fanny pack. It's kind of a turnoff for me. I could never say that to someone's face. That's why I'm behind a microphone right now. But if I were Haley, I'd be doing the same thing. Just smiling and light chuckling. Maybe I would even do what she did that last night. Actually, I don't think I would, because I would be terrified that I would be found out, which is exactly what happened. There's this last minute twist that I'm hoping we hear from the rest of the couples what went on, because we learned that Haley told Jake that she was going to go have a little girls' night their last night in Vegas, just the wives. Not clued into production at all, wink, wink, Jake got a wild hair up his ass and decides that he's going to go downstairs and check on Haley. And he finds everyone, all the wives, all the husbands, having a grand old time in Vegas. It sucks. Most of us have had that feeling before where you're being left out and everyone you thought was your friend has left you out. And now you're just standing there like a big dumbass and you feel like shit because why didn't anyone else invite you? It was pretty shitty on her part. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and say she thought she was just meeting up with the wives, but I don't know at this point. Hopefully we find out more from the other couples. But back to Chris and Paige. They've broken up and gotten back together how many times in this 4 or 5 day period? This has got to be a record for this show. But in yet another hot and cold back and forth moment between these two, Chris shares that he still loves his ex, that they've had multiple conversations about getting back together. As anyone would, Paige has got to get out of that room and clear her mind. Although, I think they were kind of tricky with the footage, because if you notice, she was wearing that same long cotton dress and the denim jacket that she was wearing when she first found out about the pregnant fiance and she went down to talk to Brianna, but I guess it doesn't really matter. Because she returns to the bedroom and she's like, I prayed about it and I'm going to love you through all this because the experts matched us for a reason. Yeah, Paige, it's called a TV show in ratings and someone who could afford to take 4 or 5 weeks off of work. But sure, it's God that wants you together, Paige. I certainly don't have the faith that she does. She's one strong chick. Now, speaking of faith and God, Chris, after this long conversation with Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, he's decided that he's spiritually attracted to her. And you know what? He actually is attracted to her physically. How does Paige not see that Chris is just saying anything he needs to say in the moment to get himself out of hot water to make himself look good? That's why he'll be super honest and be like, yeah, well, I think I still love her. We've talked about parenting together, because he doesn't have to sit there and look at her in the eye. They're busy packing. But as soon as she sits him down, looks him in the eye, then he changes his tune because he's a manipulator and he's a freaking con artist. Now, I'm going to give you a little spoiler here. So if you don't want to know anything about this, jump ahead a little bit. Here's what I heard, according to @MaffsFan and people who were responding to her posts about looking through Reddit. He actually didn't get his fiance pregnant. It was his fiance's cousin. So he must have cheated on his fiance at the time and gotten her cousin pregnant. And currently, people are saying that he's on vacation in Cancun with the former, maybe now current fiance. And she's not pregnant because they're drinking. So put all that together, do the math. Who knows what's going on? But anyway, you slice it. He's a complete jerk, and Paige does not deserve any of this. I think they should have had Chris kicked off the show immediately and then given Paige whatever they were going to pay him for pain and suffering. She really, truly wanted this to work, and that's what makes it so sad about her bringing up her faith all the time, is that she really thinks God wants her to do this. If anything, this is where she's got to go back to one of my favorite quotes from Oprah, who herself talked to God and said, he's speaking to us through the universe and it gets louder and louder when you don't listen to it. So there you go. There's my 2 cents or 20 some minutes on Married at First Sight. Let's take a quick break and then we're going to get into Sunday night on TLC, Sister Wives and 90 Day Fiancé. I'm so excited to share some news with you. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meals to choose from, there's something for everyone. I love switching between the brands, and now my listeners can enjoy both brands at a discount with me. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and delicious seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. HelloFresh cuts down on those trips to the grocery store and saves you time. And when I'm less stressed, that makes cooking at home a lot easier, more fun, and it's more affordable. And that's why it's my and America's number one meal kit. If you've never tried HelloFresh, let me break it down for you. Every week, HelloFresh offers at least 23 recipes with all different flavor profiles. Even my picky eaters, like my kids, will find something they love. And sometimes they want to pick the same thing. Like my daughter, who recently discovered she loves steak, she always wants the balsamic fig sirloin. But you'll never get bored because there's always something new to try every week. How perfect for a date night these days, right? You're always looking for something to spice it up. So why not spice it up with the shrimp spaghetti with a kick? Now, if you have a vegetarian in the family or you prefer more proteins, HelloFresh has got you covered. And I want to reassure you, these meals aren't some skimpy, wimpy meal that's going to leave you hungry. We made a chicken and biscuit pot pie that was amazing, and we even had leftovers. Plus, there's more extras than ever. HelloFresh's selection of add-ons is getting bigger and better every week with quick breakfasts, lunches, protein sides, and my favorite, desserts. I definitely have a sweet tooth. So I told you how easy and affordable and delicious HelloFresh is, but I'm going to take any and all guilt you may have away that you aren't trudging through that grocery store instead. Not only are you doing something good for you and your family, but you're helping to give back. HelloFresh has already donated over 4 million meals to charity in 2020, and now they're stepping up food donations to local communities amid the food insecurity crisis and pandemic. Thank you, HelloFresh. So go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV10 and use code RealityTV10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping. As Stephanie from 90 Day Fiancé would say, are you kidding me? 10 free meals with free shipping for America's number one meal kit? Yes, you're getting HelloFresh straight to your door with some of the easiest and most mouthwatering meals you'll ever make in your own kitchen. That's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV10 using code RealityTV10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping. Check the show notes for an easy link for HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Well, well, well. The bitch is back. Betty is back on our screens this week, and I don't remember if I recapped or if I talked about that episode where Brandon sat down with his parents and said he might be moving out. I don't remember, but whatever. She cried over tacos and chose a Chianti or a Merlot to eat with her tacos, which shows you truly what kind of monster she is, but whatever. It doesn't matter now. We got bigger baby spermy fish to fry. Ooh, that did not sound right. Okay, well, anyway, Julia thinks she's pregnant because she's been feeling sick in the morning. I think it could also be from shoveling pig shit for the last 3 weeks. She picked up some sort of parasite, or it could be rolling over to see Brandon's mama's boy face smiling at you every morning. That would certainly make most of us sick. Or, of course, she could be pregnant with his scrambled hot tub sperm. So first things first, what should we do? I know, tell mommy and daddy about it. Why? Why would you do that? They're the last people in Julia's life that should know about that. They have zero intention of making life easier for Julia, so they're the last people that should know. I wouldn't trust them knowing if Julia had a hangnail, let alone the whereabouts of her uterus. It's like Brandon gets pleasure out of torturing his parents via torturing Julia at the same time. I don't even think Brandon sees Julia as an actual person with feelings and a free will and a heart or a brain. To him, Julia is just a girl who's living in his life. Like, her reality is unimportant to him. He's a narcissist. He's actually a lot like Chris from Married at First Sight that I was just talking about. He's just a selfish asshole like his dad and a narcissist like his mom. Case in point, the night of the Jenga game where they break the big news. I would rather give birth unmedicated again than play Jenga on that porch with Ron and Betty and Brandon. Brandon did Julia so dirty. And the thought did cross my mind, they know if she's pregnant or not. They're just trying to make good TV, or producers did this to them. But I don't care, because in that moment, Brandon says to his parents, yeah, I mean, I've been telling Julia we got to use protection, but she just doesn't care. I've been saying the same thing, guys. Julia, what are you going to do about it? Hey, asshole. She wouldn't be having this pregnancy scare or fake pregnancy scare, doesn't matter, without you. He really does think that he is not part of that equation at all. Brandon and his parents are all terrible people. This is a game to them. Brandon might be the worst one out of them all because he's the one who loves getting a rise out of his parents at Julia's expense. She really was upset by those comments, and I would be too. Again, even if we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say this was a setup scenario, that Julia was in on it. The things he said in that moment were still offensive, even if she were in on it. But let's fast forward to the next day when Brandon comes home from work with a pregnancy test. I promise you, I felt that there was more on the line, Julia taking this, than any of my pregnancies. And I had two pregnancies with IVF for my surrogacies. And this was more anxiety provoking than anything else. But thank God, Brandon's hilarious pranks and hijinks are rubbing off on Julia, because psych, she tricked him. The test says it's negative. She's not pregnant, thank God. But now they got to tell mommy and daddy. So they call them out of their bedroom where maybe they were planning their next swingers party, allegedly or not. And they're going to have a family meeting about Julia's vagina. You know, like those games we all play with our in-laws. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Guess what, guys? Julia's not pregnant. Well, the nerve of those youngsters to put Betty through this stress, because we all know it's all about her. Oh, she thought she was having a heart attack. Do not do that, you two. Brandon, you little sneaky Pete. I just need to get over there and tickle you and make you jump right back into my tum-tum. Why, I yada. I'm going to take you two out to the hot tub naked and give you a piece of my mind, mister. What the fuck? That was so creepy to me. All four of them are giggling and laughing. Julia, not as much, but Brandon and his parents thought that was way too funny. Brandon just sucks. I hate him now. It's not Julia's sole responsibility to figure out the birth control. We all know that. Nor is it any of our business for this to be a storyline. I feel gross just talking about it. Why can't they just have sex and not tell everyone about it? We get it. You're in your mid-20s. Go and have sex and come up with something else to tell us about. Now let's move on to Mike and Natalie. And I have a question, although I haven't looked anything up because I really don't like finding spoilers if I can help it. But did Natalie look different to you when she was talking to her therapist? Not just the crazy hair, because that was bizarre, but her boobs looked bigger and her face looked a little fuller and she looked maybe kind of sort of pregnant. Is there a chance that she is? I mean, if she got pregnant and that's why they got married, I don't want to know, but I kind of do. Is that a possibility? Gently break the news to me if she is. Well, let's talk about this argument that they had, because this argument went real deep. Like, the jabs they threw towards each other were real and they were very hurtful. Natalie just cannot fathom that Mike's friend, the friend who he was the best man or man of honor, whatever, at her wedding, she can't fathom that this woman wouldn't want to jump all over Mike and have sex with him the night before she gets married. So she's convinced herself that Mike is absolutely lying. And there's no doubt in her mind that he is lying and he's cheated. But in her twisted mind, in her need to be right, wants Mike, okay, I have to think this through, make sure I say this right. She wants Mike to admit to her that he cheated on her so that she can forgive him and thank him for being honest, even though he really didn't sleep with her, or at least I don't think he slept with the friend. That's really psychotic behavior. Now, I don't enjoy Mike telling Natalie that she's an ugly person inside, because that's a really horrible insult. But I can't say I disagree. I don't think he's wrong. She does think she's beautiful. She does think she's the hottest piece of ass there is, more beautiful than Mike, and he should be so lucky to be with her. I can't think of a single couple that I know, friends that I know, neighbors, where one of them would sling that towards the other. I'm more beautiful than you are. I am the more attractive partner. That's wild. I mean, Dave and I have this ongoing sort of bickering argument about who's funnier, but I mean, I think we all know who's the funnier of the two of us, right? It's a cute little game we play where he thinks he can keep up. Anyway, their level of insults were completely different. First of all, I would love to have a fraction of the confidence that Natalie has, thinking that she is so gorgeous, because she's not that cute. Even if I saw her without her mouth ever opening, if I never knew her and she were just walking down the street, I would think Natalie is a normally average, pretty woman. Like, she wouldn't stand out in a crowd to me. If you look at the lineup of the women on the show, for example, I wouldn't pick her as number one. I don't even know if I would put her in the top three. This is all a moot point because I don't see where they go from here. Mike is very vocal about not wanting to spend the rest of his life with Natalie because he's annoyed by the mere presence of her, as am I. And Natalie isn't ready to trust anything he says, to believe anything he says or does. all she wants is that freaking ring back. She's got this crazy, I don't know, obsession with the ring. That ring has some crazy control over Natalie. Like, she thinks if she puts it on her finger, everything is going to be perfect. She can go prance in the forest and make out with a tree, and Mike's going to think she's perfect. It doesn't work that way. And I really think she does think it's going to work that way. And I have to respect Mike for being brutally honest with her. It was brutal, but it was honest. And he might just be punishing her for doing to him, if you remember back in Ukraine when she said, oh, I don't love him, and they were doing their little interview. Maybe he's punishing her and he's doing to her what she did to him. But at least he's still being truthful about it. She was being truthful, or she was playing a game. But I mean, Natalie admitted in the therapist's office, too, that she didn't feel in love with him. So really, what's the point? She's got to just go back to Ukraine, find some other guy who's not going to have any other female friends. Mike can certainly find a woman in Washington who's going to love living on his land and doing fireworks over his pond and probably let him visit Uncle Bo every now and then. These two are not meant to be together, although I'm pretty sure, spoiler, jump ahead, I'm pretty sure I heard they got married. Huge, huge mistake. Now, Rebecca and Zied. They're really boring me, and I think it's because they're starting to annoy me as well. Rebecca is still talking about this chick from last week that she's convinced was flirting with Zied. Her insecurity is showing, and it's not a good look. And had someone offered to move all my shit while I was at work, while I was out of the house, even if they were flirting with Dave, I'd be like, have at it. You want me to call another U-Haul? I'll pay for it. I'll send you guys Panera for lunch. Probably Panera, because it gives everyone the shits. So I'd send Panera, let him get the shits, but let him move my stuff while they're at it. She's just got to relax with this stuff. If Zied were some insanely good catch like she thinks he is, then she needs to ask herself why he wasn't married and had kids back in Tunisia. Chill out. Now, with this love affair with the blonde called off, Rebecca has got to drum up some other kind of conflict because she's that kind of woman. She loves the constant angst where she's going to have her partner convince her that he is truly in love with her. So she's going to find something to cause friction and tension and stress so that he can reassure her. It's kind of like Natalie, but in a different way. This time, it's will Zied want to have kids someday? Kids that Rebecca cannot have because she had a partial hysterectomy. So they go over to Rebecca's son's house, who was lovely, by the way. I really liked her son. He seemed like a super nice guy. Couldn't have been nicer or more welcoming to Zied, which shows to me she's got to be somewhat of a good mom, right? Okay, I'm trying to find some redeeming things about Rebecca because she's starting to drive me nuts. But they go over there, totally normal meeting of the family. But of course, TLC's got to make it look like some super stressful event and it's going to be a big turning point. And Zied's going to walk out of there and say, I want kids so much. I want so much children, babe. But it didn't happen. It was fine. The weirdest thing to me was actually that Rebecca kept saying Zied is her grown children's stepdad now. I don't think that's really the case. Zied is your fiance. Your grown children in their 20s and 30s are not going to be considering Zied their stepdad. They'll think of him simply as their mom's fiance or my mom's husband, right? Like, Dave's mom is remarried. His dad passed away, and he doesn't say, that's my stepdad. He's like, that's my mom's husband. No one's dadding anyone. They're not stepping in a real fatherly role. You don't walk up with a bunch of balloons that say it's a boy when your parents get remarried when you're an adult. And why can't the grandkids call him Zied? I didn't like that granddaddy Zied, Papa Zied. Just call him Zied. It's just weird to me. But you know what else is weird? That Rebecca is just now wondering about the kids scenario, that he might have kids someday. It's been, what, 2 or 3 years since they've known each other, since they've been talking, and she's just now wondering about this? Why wouldn't you have brought this up years ago? And if that's that big of a deal to you, then you need to age up. Start dating men who are out of the procreating age. It's a very simple formula. You go on a dating app and you pick your age range. Do you want kids or do you not? So I am sorry, not sorry. No sympathy there for you, toots. All right, Yara and Jovi. Jovi is such a bitch to me is the new you're such a fucking liar, Camille. I know for a fact I'm going to be saying that all the freaking time. Jovi's mom is standing there, and the way they edited this together was some of the best work I've seen on 90 Day ever. She's talking about how Jovi and Yara are staring at each other in their eyes, dancing together, and you can tell that they're just so in love while Yara is counting the ways in which she's going to murder and slice up Jovi's ginormous mandible. Was perfect. He's trying to just put his hand slightly on her hip ass, and she's like, don't you fucking touch me, bitch. Jovi, I hate you. I want to murder you. You're the worst. I fucking hate you. That's what she's saying to him as they're dancing. I mean, what better night to tell your parents to that you're pregnant, that your soon-to-be wife is pregnant? So they sit down, and his parents' reaction to just the we have news was no, 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 no. And then when he says she's pregnant, there were about 13 more no, 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 no's. But that's the exact opposite emotion Jovi's mom shares later, where she's like, I'm so pumped to become a grandma again. So which one do we believe? I tend to believe actions speak louder than words, and the nodding their heads no, looking at each other, jaw on the floor, I think they're terrified. I think she's saying the right thing she needs to say in that moment, in her little confessional moment, which is great. You don't want her saying anything bitchy, because we all know mothers and daughters-in-law, it's all going to circle back. But I don't believe she's really that excited. And to be honest, I don't really care, because no matter what, my heart's always going to be with Yara. I love her. She is my favorite bitch. She's our bitch. And I take back everything I said about her weird ombre weaves or her extensions that she was wearing when she got here. She has done a very quick and very effective glow up. Her hair looks better and better. I mean, it's a little long and a little overdone for me, but the way she can put Jovi in his place, the way that she can put up with his attitude in a way that shows her vulnerability and strength, I love her. And she was very nice and delightful to Jovi's parents. She was even trying to bond with his friends, which leads me to believe she got a really rough edit when she first got here. And then probably production was like, holy shit, this guy really sucks. We better not do her dirty, because she's already living in an actual hell with Jovi. Speaking of Jovi, where the fuck is he? Nowhere to be found during the party. And even when Yara asked him to stay with her, he copped an attitude about it and got real nasty. And that's not a good way to enter a marriage or an engagement. And I'm going to say something that you're going to be like, what the hell is she talking about? But trust me on this. And I forgot where I heard this, but it is very true. Never marry someone you wouldn't want to divorce. I know it sounds like an obvious thing, but think about it. If you're with someone and you can see how nasty they can be, maybe it's how they treat or talk about their exes or to service staff or to family members. Maybe it's how they ice out friends or how they cut people out of their lives. Or like Jovi, just they're cold as ice to your face. They can have no emotion. They can't handle anything that you give them. Don't marry that person, even if they can be sweet other times, even if there's 10% of the time that they are real nasty to other people. That's the same kind of person in a divorce that will go off the rails and make your life a living hell. Not that any divorce is, you know, very friendly and amicable or easy. It's not most of the time, but there's certain red flags and certain people like Jovi that should make it clear you never, ever marry them. Imagine how Jovi would be if they were to get a divorce. If they get married and divorce, he's going to be like a character in a movie, that typical smug, pompous ass at the other end of the table that's not going to budge at all and make her life hell. he would be the guy who would drag his kids through shit just because he can, because he's that spiteful. I fear to know any spoilers about these two. I have a feeling they get married, but I really don't want them to. Save Yara. We gotta save her. Okay, Hazel and Tariq, I don't know what to talk about here. They call his friend. They share the news that they're looking for a girlfriend to add to their sex life and or relationship. Not quite sure, nor do I care, because I think they are pretty happy as they are. Moving on, that's it. Andrew and Amira didn't see them. So I think Stephanie and Ryan are the perfect place to round out this episode. Oh my God, are you kidding me? This bitch is whack-a-do. We are tossed into a fight in progress. It's the middle of the night, and Ryan's walking off into the safety of a very sketchy-looking road. I think he was actually trying to get hit by a car just to get out of the situation, because Stephanie is really what I said before. She's really just a blonde, more attractive Danielle of Danielle and Mohammed. She cannot give up on anything. She will not give up on this relationship if it's the last thing she does. If she's got a hula hoop for 100 hours while she's breaking up with him and making up with him, she's gonna do it. What is she overreacting about this time? Well, you see, she needed lubrication because it hurt because she was dry. So she asked Ryan to hand over the lubrication because his condom made it dry. And he said, I'm not wearing a condom. And I said, are you kidding me, Ryan? I asked you to do one thing and you couldn't even do that. You lied, Ryan. You lied. This is a lot to unpack here. Now, obviously, we can all agree safe sex is important. No one's rooting for Stephanie to get an STD or something, but we're watching all of this unraveling because Stephanie wanted to have sex with a condom and Ryan didn't put one on, but he confirmed that he never wore a condom, even when she told him to wear one before, that Stephanie just didn't notice. She didn't know that he wasn't wearing one. And that's kind of weird that they have two totally different accounts of their sex life, but it's also strange that Stephanie thinks or considers this as the last straw, that he didn't wear a rubber. Not the thousands of dollars that she sent him, not supporting his family, not paying him for a job that he doesn't actually have, not him treating her like a joke and talking to her like shit when they were on FaceTime. But it's the lube and the rubbers confusion. That's her rock bottom. Oh my God, are you kidding me? If she said that one more time, I was going to start screaming, oh my God, are you kidding me? So naturally, what's the next step for a grown woman with a successful business to do? She calls Harris. This 50-year-old woman is acting like most of the chicks who have been on Teen Mom. She's nuts. It's like she enjoys getting used by men, so she sets herself up for it. That's her default. And then, much like a teenager or a tween, she's got to call up her friends and fire them up and create even more drama. She loves it. She absolutely loves this. So she calls her friend who's a psychic, or a psychic that she considers a friend who isn't really as great of a friend as she thinks she is. Because if you noticed, Stephanie kept saying, I love you, I love you. And the friend was like, okay, I'll see you at your next appointment. Bye-bye. Anyway, the psychic gives her advice that anyone would give her. You don't need to be a psychic. We all know this. First of all, don't go back with Ryan because he's using you. He has ulterior motives. Second of all, don't go with a cousin because you already slept with him and that blew up in your face. And I would have added, maybe for an additional $14.95 a minute, send over your passport, hand over your passport when you come back home, because I'm never letting you leave the country again. You got to stop going across the world representing women of the United States. I don't care about her dating life. I just don't want Stephanie being the face of American women, just like I've said about Nicole and Danielle and probably 88% of the other women on this show. Okay, let's take a very quick break, and then we'll check in with a whole bunch of other women on Sister Wives. You deserve to know what you're putting in your body and why, especially when it comes to something you take every day. So many of us, me included, get in this mind frame that we have to eliminate bad things from our diets, but it's just as important to incorporate key nutrients that our meals don't provide. Ritual multivitamins makes this so easy, you guys. Ritual's delayed release capsules aren't packed with sugars, GMOs, synthetic fillers, or colorants. I've been singing Ritual's praises because of how they deliver their omega-3s in that same capsule with the dry ingredients, no nausea, no bad aftertaste, because there's this minty tab in each bottle, smells just like juicy fruit gum to me. And Ritual is scientist and nutritionist recommended. And it's not just for women. Ritual extended their line to include all life stages. When they rolled this out a few months ago, I was so psyched because it made my life so much easier. They have a kids multivitamin, which is a gummy. My Charlie loves them. They taste just like fruit snacks, so be ready to hide them. And there's also multivitamins for teen boys, teen girls, prenatals, and the men and women's lines are for 18 and up or 50 and up. No longer are you going to be trying to find the best vitamins for the best value for each person in your house. No, no. Every month, just get it delivered to your home just like I do. And I save because I'm ordering them all in a bundle with their free shipping. And if your kids are like mine and they forget to take them and you get a little stockpile going, just log into ritual.com, skip a month. Ritual totally understands. There's no hidden fees, no small print. Make your life easier. Do something good for your body. Trust me, you won't regret it. Get those key nutrients without the BS. Ritual's offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/realityTV to start your ritual today. Check the show notes for an easy link, ritual.com/realityTV. Oh, my word. I love this show. I can't get enough Sister Wives. I never realized how much I love the show until it's back on, even though it's the same shit, different episode. Can't get enough. So this week we are talking about Felons No More, Episode 2, Season 15. And I really don't care about the politics of polygamy. We've had way too many episodes of that, so I'm not going to go into all the different laws. Who cares? What we do care about is this road trip, right? And it's so on brand that none of the wives can stomach driving in the same car with each other. You know, they can share the same man, but they can't share the same van. They can share the same man, but they can't share the same van or sedan. You know, God forbid their legs might touch in the backseat, but please be my doula. I want you in here pulling my baby out of my crotch when I have him. It's so messed up, but it's glorious. So the whole episode starts off with a bang because Christine's car has a flat tire and Cody's having one of his typical bitch fits because he wants to drive to the tire place right now, right this minute. We're not turning back. We're going to, you know, head all over to where are they going to? Utah, Davenport, Iowa. I don't care. It doesn't matter. They're going to go visit the Dargers. But Cody's got to get this tire fixed, and he refuses to think of any other solution for them to get on the road than go over there, spend an hour or two, and get this thing fixed. So Christine is already annoyed because she thinks they should just take another car. But listen, no brown family fight can be contained with just one of the wives because it's in the mission statement. Refer to seasons 7 through 12. They head over to Mary's house. And right here might be my new favorite obscure Mary moment because, of course, Cody has got to bust into that house when Mary is taking a giant shit. That is absolutely what was happening. You know she ran upstairs to take a shit before hopping in the car, but Cody busted her ass, outed her ass by running in, screaming her name and telling her, hurry up in there, hurry up, because we got to get to the Firestone. We got to change the tire now. Pinch that thing off and pull up your LuLaRoes because we got to leave and hit the road. I mean, I'm laughing because it's Mary. I mean, if it were me, I would be mortified because what do? The sound guy is going to pick up on you calling back out the door. Okay, Cody, I'm going as fast as I can. Give me a minute. I'm in here. Because then obviously you're pooping. That's why she was upstairs. She was using the upstairs bathroom because she was pooping. Otherwise, she would have peed in a downstairs bathroom and ran out the door. It's just everything to me. I mean, she was either pooping upstairs in that bathroom or she's texting her next catfisher. And either way, I'm going to be fanficking this out until my last breath. Now, let's jump over to Janelle's house. And now Cody is really in a tizzy because you can hear the air squealing out of that tire. And he tosses all of her shit in the back of the car and basically tells her, get in the car, step on Mary if you have to. We got to get out of here. And then they peel out of there, peel kind of like a banana. What about Mary filleting a banana? Catfisher, any cheater. Turns out the tire can't be fixed at the tire place right away, so they're going to take Robin's minivan. And Robin gets shotgun. Gotta love Christine's effort trying to convince us that it was with her blessing. Sure. As if Robin would actually sit anywhere else than co-pilot with Cody. So Christine ends up behind Cody. He's driving while Mary is behind Robin. Ooh, in more ways than one. And Mary's bitching about the temperature because she's always cold, you know, because she's isolated. I'm so cold, but no one notices. Hashtag victim. All right, fast forward to the arrival at the Dargers. And I personally feel like a victim here because we got cheated out of hours of footage of awkward silences and weird conversations and glances in that minivan. I mean, we'll always have Nancy's therapy sessions to fill that void, but I feel cheated. Now, the Dargers, I'm wondering if anyone else saw the sparkle in Cody's eyes when he looked at Joe. He lit up. Not even like a Christmas tree. He's like a kid running to the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, cozying up to Joe next to the sink. Just two guys talking about wanting their own bedrooms. You know, guy time in your bedroom, right, Joe? A guy's night or a guy's afternoon in? A gay? That's an Office reference, by the way. Okay, but just like Mary always having to take a speedy shit, I will never tire of watching Cody attempt to bro out. Those wrestling episodes back in Cody's sack in Las Vegas were some of my favorites, where he got down, broed out like bros do, you know, like you and your husbands, they just wrestle with their friends in the garage. I think he even purchased mats so that it could be an all-the-time thing. Funny we didn't see those friends return for a guy's afternoon in wrestling. Anyhow, let's talk about, Cody talking about Joe Darger. This isn't the first time we've met the Dargers, and this isn't the first time we've talked about them or that they've been on the show. Cody, single white female, wants to be Joe Darger. He wants to wear his skin. I just mentioned that mission statement, and if you recall, that was because of the Dargers. The Dargers had a mission statement, so Cody had to be like his best bro and had to do exactly the same thing. I mean, maybe Cody's there just to, you know, spitball and shoot the shit and see if good old Joe is into curly blondes now, if you know what I'm saying. But back to reality, Mary is a victim. She's now a victim of Cody's because he said he has four strings that he's being pulled by from his four wives, that they all want him to go in different directions. So Mary, from her little corner on the couch, because everyone forgot about her, says, no, I don't tell you to do anything. And that's the first time we hear her speak since taking her secret shit. You know, she's got to remind everyone that she's the first wife. She's the quiet, meek one, the sacrificer. And that's when Robin needs to literally jump up and make it known that she is the peacekeeper, the legal wife who keeps the peace, and also the person Mary hates the most currently, because did you hear how quickly Mary made that snide comment? The, oh, nice little dance you did for him. Jealous and bitter much, Mary? Didn't have to be that way. Had you shut up about the wet bar? That's when it all started. It all started with the wet bar. Okay, well, I'm going to end this episode with another Sister Wives Would You Rather. Whose diary would you rather read? Cody's, Mary's, Christine's, Janelle's, or Robin's. Think about it carefully, though. Mary might have a lot of crazy shit in there, but Christine and Janelle would certainly have a lot of shit on Mary and Cody. And would Cody admit to himself that Robin is his favorite? And what does Robin know that she hasn't told everyone else? I think I'm going to go Christine's diary, because I think Christine and Cody actually have the most wild, crazy sex. Maybe not lately, but when she was really well medicated and she was really living up her life in Vegas, I think she was enjoying Flagstaff when they first moved, but not so much now. But I'd still rather read Christine's because I think she's got a lot of juicy dirt on everyone. Well, thank you guys for listening this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, leave a 5-star review. And if you didn't, I'm sorry. Hopefully you find something that you like this week. I love you anyway. I'll talk to you guys later. See you next week. Stay salty.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.